it is the first Sunday of the month, so come on up and join us in the choir for Real Men Sing Real Loud. Gentlemen, as many as you will, please join us in the choir. Don't be bashful. Come on. Don't be bashful. Come on, gentlemen. All who are willing to come, come sing in the choir. John, you've got a good voice. Come help us out. All right, I got a couple announcements. I have a word of prayer before we, for the men sing for us this morning. Real men sing real loud. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And let's see. Do we have the words? Yes, we have it up there. Good. Just a couple announcements. We'll have a word of prayer, then we'll go ahead and start with our service. And our real men sing real loud. We'll sing this morning. As you've noticed, Brother Rob's not here this morning. His mom, Miss Nancy, graduated to heaven this morning. So pray for the Robinson family. And it is a homegoing. So it is a good, makes it a much, much easier. And, you know, I remember years ago when my grandmother died, it was a homegoing. But the ones that were there crying and having the hardest times were the ones that did not know the Lord. And my uncles, and having an opportunity to witness to them, be a part of preaching her funeral, at that time made it a little bit difficult for that part. But some of them couldn't understand the joy that I had. And I said, because I know where she's at. And I know I'll be there with her. I didn't know Miss Nancy very well. But I knew her son. I know her son. And that tells me much about her as well. So pray for Brother Rob and family. I'll pray for Miss Bonnie Disbrow. As you remember, the Disbrow family relocated to Tennessee. Miss Bonnie's in the hospital with some internal bleeding, so pray for her. And then also John Leonard is also in the hospital. Brother Daryl, Miss Margo's son, went in the hospital with a blood clot in his lung, so we pray for him as they're working to get that dissolved. And so he'll be able to go home soon. So keep them in prayer as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we begin our time of worship this morning. Father, we love you so much, and we do thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and the joy of fellowship. Father, I pray that you would be with Brother Rob and family, Lord, as many will begin traveling in for the homegoing service that will take place later in the week. And Lord, I just pray that you give them traveling mercies, safety, be with Rob as he has much going on in his heart and his mind. But Lord, also the joy of knowing where she is, and he will see her again. I just pray that you'd help him as they make arrangements. Pray that you'd be with the doctors there in East Tennessee with Miss Bonnie. Comfort be Brother Dave during this time as they seek out some of the problems with the internal bleeding. Maybe be able to get that resolved and are able to come home soon. Father, we also ask that you be with John Leonard as well. It's so glad he made it into the hospital. They did discover the problem with the clot. The Lord and the medication would dissolve it, and he would be able to come home soon. Father, we pray that your healing hand upon him. And now, Father, we pray that you bless our services today. May you be uplifted and glorified. We are so grateful for a God that we love, that we serve, that we worship, who has his healing hand, Lord, upon us. And we just pray again for your healing and comfort through all these things. And today, bless us through our time of worship together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, if you come this morning, we'll prepare to take up our tithes and offering this morning. And again, thank you so much for your faithfulness unto the Lord who gave you your tithes and offering. All right, I ask Brother John Draper, I've asked God's blessings on our tithes this morning.
This opportunity we have to fellowship and to hear your word.
Yes.
Thank you for being our God. Thank you so very much for the salvation, the joy we have in it. Father, this time we thank you that we are able to give back a small portion of what you so bountifully blessed us with. We ask your blessing upon it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please join us in prayer as we go before the Lord and ask God's blessings on our service today. And pray for me as God, Lord, will help me as I preach and teach this morning. And of course, as I pray for the men and leadership of our church. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer, please. Father, as we approach thy throne this morning, we humbly ask, Father, that you'd work in our midst, Lord, is a work that only you can do, Father. As we look across our congregation and consider this past week and the weekend with folks traveling and the homegoing of others, Father, we ask for your comfort, your peace, your encouragement, and your strength. Be with those that will be traveling in from out of town with the Robinson family, Father. Again, I pray for Miss Bonnie Disbrow, Lord, and doctors there in East Tennessee, that you give them wisdom. I pray that you either strengthen her body, be with Brother Dave during this time, as I know that he's concerned for his wife, and I pray that you comfort, encourage, and strengthen him as well. Lord, I pray that you would be with John Leonard as well, as he is resting in the hospital waiting for this blood clot to dissolve, that he might be able to go home. And I pray that you'd be the doctors and those on the care team treating him, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and insight. And then, Father, we praise you and thank you for the ministry that we have here at Harvest. I thank you for those that are working in the nursery this morning, those who will be working in Children's Church. We are so truly grateful for servants who have a desire to serve one another, but, Lord, most importantly, to serve you. And we pray your blessings upon them. Father, I pray that you'd be with our men. Lord, Father, the men of Harvest, those that are visiting with us today, I pray that you would visit in the hearts of these men and their mind and help them today as we prepare here in the few moments of the reading of Scripture, our prophecy update, the ministry and song help and prepare our hearts and minds for the preaching and teaching. preaching of thy word. Pray that you'd help our men, Father. Help them to be the men that you'd have them to be at home, in the workplace, in their community, here at church. Help them to be godly leaders, Father, that would strive to not only serve you, but by serve you as they serve others. Father, help me today to also to be a shining example to the men and families of our church. Help me to be the shepherd that you'd have me to be. Give me insight, wisdom, and direction in my preaching and teaching, Father. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech, Father. Help me to preach with power, with boldness, with clarity, Father, with a heart of a shepherd. And then, Father, we also ask, Father, that your blessings upon our ladies and young people today. What a joy it is to have ladies here in Harvest that have a desire to serve you as they serve one another in their Harvest family. Bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. And then, Father, we thank you for our visitors who are with us today. We pray that somehow, some way that we have already been a blessing, but the teaching and preaching of thy word will also be a source of blessing and encouragement. And then, Father, I ask if there's anyone here today that doesn't know, that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. May that Christian who's discouraged be encouraged, who is hurting would be helped and lifted up, Father. Just have your will and way in the service. And when all is said and done today, may it be said that the people of Harvest glorify the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in the precious, wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. For our prophecy update and our special music, I read our text this morning as we continue our journey through the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 in verse 4. The Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We'll continue our journey this morning and look at more steps on how to be an overcomer in this messed up world.
Well, as Pastor said, we're going to have a prophecy update this morning, and something that we're resuming on just more of an occasional basis. and I do want to emphasize, too, this ushers meeting after the service today. That's for anybody that's not just serving as an usher currently, but if you're just thinking that you might be interested, I would encourage you to join us for that. So this morning, I'm going to have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And then if you want to keep your finger in or, you know, put something to mark Revelation chapter 9, we're going to go there as well this morning. So this morning, I want to focus not so much on what's in Bible prophecy, but what's not in prophecy, namely the United States. If you've been here for a while, you know that we've looked extensively at Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, which is a prophecy of a coming Russian-led invasion of Israel. And you know, conspicuously absent from this prophecy is any reference whatsoever to the United States, something that's kind of hard to imagine in today's context. In fact, you will not find the United States even alluded to anywhere in Scripture. This country could literally disappear off the face of the earth tomorrow, and it would not change one word of the Bible. So today, I want to offer up at least one plausible explanation for why this seems to be an emerging condition. And so in 2 Timothy 3:1, just want to remind you of this. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And certainly we are living in perilous times, and they are getting more perilous as each year goes by. Now, you may have, you may be aware just from news reports and whatnot that there has been growing concern about the possibility of a U.S. war with the People's Republic of China. The most likely proximate cause for such a conflict would be a Chinese attempt to seize Taiwan, an event that would have enormous strategic implications for the United States and the world. In 2022, China's leader, President Xi Jinping, ordered the People's Liberation Army to develop the capability to seize Taiwan by the year 2027. That's just around the corner. The United States is committed to the defense of Taiwan under the Taiwan Relations Act of 1979. And so, you know, it's no wonder that people are getting nervous, because it's well understood that a war between the U.S. and China would be a cataclysmic event. Such a war would bring the first, second, and third largest economies of the world into direct military conflict. And I'm speaking, of course, of the United States, China, and Japan. A U.S. war with China would be very unlike the other wars that the U.S. has fought over the last 35 years. The two wars in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan would be considered low to mid-intensity conflicts. On the other hand, a U.S. war with China would be a multi-domain, high-intensity conflict. It would be a conflict that, although primarily a naval and air conflict, it would be fought in all warfare domains, meaning on the land, at sea, under the sea, in the air, in space, in cyberspace, and in the electromagnetic spectrum. Today, China has the capability to attack and destroy 5 out of the 6 U.S. forward operating bases in the Western Pacific. Their plan involves the employment of ballistic missiles armed with conventional submunitions that are capable of piercing the runway. And so, although it would take maybe 24 to 48 hours for the U.S. to repair those runways, in the meantime, U.S. flight operations would be shut down. And we can expect that while those runways are down for repair, that those bases would come under attack by Chinese cruise missiles and aircraft from the People's Liberation Army Air Force. And their objective, of course, would be to seek more comprehensive destruction of the air bases to keep them permanently out of the war. Because of China's anti-access and area denial capabilities, which are growing every day, their objective is to keep our aircraft carriers at least 2,000 miles away from the Chinese coast, thereby diluting U.S. air power in the Taiwan theater. This is a war that would have strong escalatory pressures on both sides. And I've studied this matter for years, and from what I've read, there is great potential for horizontal escalation of the geospatial scope of the conflict so that it would go well beyond the Taiwan theater to encompass the entire Western Pacific theater of operations. There will also likely be vertical escalation in the intensity of the conflict. In other words, this is a war that may escalate all the way to the theater nuclear level. Overall, China will attempt to inflict the greatest amount of losses on Taiwan and the United States in the shortest amount of time possible to cause Taiwan to capitulate and to cause U.S. leaders to believe that it's no longer worth it to stay in the conflict. Kind of sounds similar to Japanese thinking prior to December 7th, 1941. Now, I will tell you this. I don't believe that this war is inevitable, but it's important to understand what the implications are. And because of that, it is currently affecting foreign policy decisions in China, as well as the U.S. and its allies, such as Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, and Australia. So here's what I think the Bible may be telling us about China. And so I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 16. In Revelation 9:16, it says, "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them." Okay, that's 200 million. Okay? You know, back in the 1960s, Chairman Mao Zedong claimed that China had a 200 million man people's militia. No other nation on earth has ever tried to militarize so many people than China. In Revelation 16:12, a little further ahead, it says this, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." I believe these verses are speaking of what happens during the tribulation. And I believe that there's at least two kings that may be referenced here, the leader of China and the leader of North Korea. So based on what Scripture seems to be saying, I don't think that China is going to be destroyed in a U.S. war with China over the issue of Taiwan. But I will tell you this, I think something much bigger is going on right now. You see, since 2020, China has embarked on the fastest buildup of strategic nuclear forces in world history. Back in 2020, China had only 200 strategic nuclear weapons capable of reaching the United States. But by the year, by the 2030 to 2035 time frame, they're projected to have more than 1,500 strategic nuclear warheads capable of reaching the U.S. homeland. They will have achieved strategic nuclear parity with the United States. But the situation, unfortunately, is even worse than that. The Russian Federation already has the largest strategic nuclear arsenal in the world, and they are vastly superior to the United States in numbers of short-range tactical nuclear weapons. You know, up until now, Russia has been the only nation on Earth capable of directly threatening the supreme national security interests of the United States. U.S. supreme national security interests are officially defined as maintenance of the national sovereignty and territorial integrity of the United States and the survival of our fundamental institutions and the American way of life. So what all of this means is that for the first time in history, the United States is going to face two nuclear-armed peer-level adversaries at the same time. And they are coordinating with each other. By 2027, the Congressional Commission on the Strategic Posture of the United States estimates that the U.S. will lose strategic parity, that is, equivalence, with both Russia and China when considered together. This will have the effect of limiting U.S. options for military action, causing our allies to lose confidence in U.S. security guarantees, and ultimately could lead to a collapse of the rules-based international order that has prevailed since the end of World War II. And certainly, as you look at the Book of Revelations, you don't see anything that resembles a rules-based international order. So folks, the world is changing, and it's coming into further alignment with what Scripture says is going to happen. And so this, I believe, is a plausible explanation for why you see the United States absent in the Ezekiel prophecy and elsewhere in Scripture. Either we're under nuclear threat from these two powers, or another scenario that's discussed quite often is that, you know, if Russia does something really big, China maybe will make a move on Taiwan, and the U.S. would not have the bandwidth to do something in the Middle East. And so I will leave you with Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. You don't need to turn there, but it says this. Jesus is speaking and says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." We don't need to be discouraged. We know what the Bible says, and we know how it all ends. And so I would just encourage you all to stay faithful to the Lord. Try to be here for every service, all three services during the week. Why? Because it will help you to be spiritually strong for when the perilous times shall come. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word and just, Lord, the knowledge that we have in knowing that you are in control and that everything is working out in accordance with your plan. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless these services. Help us to listen attentively and apply what we learned today to our hearts and to our lives. And I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heat, white hot with hope. And all who dare pass through its blaze will not emerge the same. Some with bronze and some with silver, some with gold, then with great skill. All are hammered by their sight. choose the refiner's fire. I'm learning now to trust his touch, to crave the fire's embrace. For though the past with sin was etched, his mercies did erase. Each time his purging cleanses deeper, I'm not sure that I'll survive. Yet the strength in growing weaker keeps my hungry soul alive. The refiner's fire has now become my sole desire. Purged and cleansed and purified, that the Lord be glorified. He is consuming my soul, refining me, making me whole. No matter what I may lose, I choose the refiner's fire.
Thank you, Ms. Hottie. What a beautiful song this morning. Have your Bibles this morning and to go along with the song and what Brother Dave mentioned. Well, preacher, what do you think about that prophecy update? Well, I think of what our text tells us this morning. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what I think about it. No matter what's going on, no matter what comes our way, it's greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world. We will pick up where we left off last week and go a few more bites of points and then maybe go a little further next week as well. But last week we looked at, began with the 14 questions to check your overcomer status on verse number 4 for a few weeks. And last time we said, we asked the question, is my body in subjection? Am I prepared for Satan's attack? Am I steadfast in spirit and in attitude? Dear friends, beloved, we must determine in our hearts and mind that we are going to live for God. So this, as we pick up this morning with number 4, am I consistently? Am I praying consistently? See, we are to have an active prayer life. I'm referring to a prayer life that has life. That's, after all, it doesn't just say pray, prayer life. Do we spend time in prayer on a regular basis? Or is it only when we eat or have a need? Is it just one-sided, or do we talk to God on a regular basis? See, we are not to be praying just occasionally. Let me put it simple to you. Talk to God. After all, he really wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. We are to ask, we are to seek, we are to knock. And I like to look at that last aspect, he that knocketh it shall be open. And dear friends, why not just by faith just begin marching as you ask the Lord to provide the need that you may have? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, it says, watch and pray. I've got a little note in my Bible that says, why? That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And dear friends, that goes in many, many ways. I'll give you a self-example. Getting away just for a couple days the other day and spending some time with the granddaughters there in the beach. And yes, the water was cold. Yes, I did do some body surfing. And yes, I'm sore to prove it today. And then we spent some time at SeaWorld. I tell you what, I didn't just wake up this morning as I usually do between 4 and 5 o'clock and just get out of bed. My alarm went off and woke me up for the first time in a long time. Why? Because the flesh is weak. I was tired. I overextended myself physically. And as my daughter said, Daddy, you're not 30 anymore. And of course, my answer was, thank you. But needless to say, what I'm saying is we get physically tired. We get emotionally tired. And therefore, we'll also get spiritually tired. But the Bible says, again, we are to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh can be weak. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Rhetorical question for you. How many times throughout the day do you talk to God? How many times throughout the day that you just pray and communicate with the Lord? I'm not talking about when you get out of bed in the morning, Lord, thank you for a good night's rest and waking me up alive. I'm not talking about praying over your breakfast or your lunch or dinner. I'm not just talking about your morning devotions where you read your Bible and pray. But what about throughout the day? Do you talk to the Lord? It says pray without ceasing, an attitude of prayer and communication with the Lord. Am I praying constantly? Next question. Am I growing spiritually? See, we are to make the effort, a concentrated, on purpose effort to grow spiritually. See, this is why attending church is important, so you learn spiritual truth and encourage and grow in the Lord. It's good to be around other believers and spend time together. It's good to, because the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. We should have a desire to grow. I've reached that age and that time in my life of that time where it's so much easier for me to gain weight than it is to lose weight. Well, don't you wish it was easier to grow spiritually as you grew older than it was when you were younger? No, it's to be on purpose, to get into the Word that we might grow. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Am I growing in my spiritual life? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brother kindliness charity. And to these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See how it tells you to add these things? We're not supposed to grow into something else, but we're to continue to do all the previous things mentioned, adding to those things that continue as we serve the Lord. So how are we doing in that category this morning? Am I growing spiritually? See, exercise your faith by being around fit, mature believers. It's good to sit around the table and have discussion as we do on Tuesday morning with those that are in a different range of their spiritual walk in life, of some being saved for longer periods of time than others have been saved. We're getting into the Word, iron sharpening with iron, encouraging one another in the Word that we might grow thereby. Only you can answer the question honestly. Am I growing spiritually? Am I more fit today, spiritual-wise, than I was yesterday? Am I striving on purpose to grow? Number six, or the next one, six in the series, third today. Am I in the Word of God daily? That helps us to grow spiritually. Some of you have heard the acronym Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. Are we in the Word? Do we know the Word? Are we memorizing Scripture? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the milk, the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And then in John chapter 15 and verse 3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The Word of God helps filter our mind, gentlemen. The Word of God helps cleanse our mind, ladies. Getting the Word in us helps us to balance out that life in this world that we may have to live in. The Word of God helps us that we might grow thereby, growing spiritually. But getting into the Word, are we in the Word daily? Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scripture daily, whether those things were so. They searched the Scriptures daily. I'm afraid to say that maybe possibly the average Christian, maybe not the average Christian, I'm not sure. What if you didn't read your Bible? Excuse me, what if you didn't eat unless you read your Bible? How fit would you be physically? How fit would you be spiritually? I haven't read my Bible today, therefore I will not eat. I did not spend time in God's Word to feed the spiritual man, therefore I will wait until I do that before I partake for the physical man. Whatever it may be, hopefully, is. And by the way, how many snacks throughout the day are you getting on the Word? Recalling Scripture. Recalling what you studied that morning. Sharing it with somebody else. Is my body in subjection? Am I prepared for Satan's attacks? Am I steadfast in spirit and attitude? Am I praying consistently? Am I growing spiritually? Am I in the Word of God daily that I might grow, that I might be in subjection, that I might sustain Satan's attack, that I might be praying consistently? Because the Word of God will help us to be successful in the previous questions that I've mentioned. Next, am I keeping myself pure? That will help a whole lot by keeping your body in subjection. But even furthermore, am I keeping myself pure? Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Yes, even in captivity, even though he was captured, even though he was told, you will be told what to do, he says, no, I will take care of my body. I will not defile myself. I will keep my temple as well as my mind pure. See, when we make choices that scar our lives by our sin, we live with regret and remorse. And Satan will do all he can to remind us of those things. And that's why it's important to stay in the Word to help us. Am I keeping myself pure? Beloved, regret reminds us of values we sadly disregarded. Let me say that again. Regrets remind us of values that we sadly disregarded. Don't allow Satan to continue to hold you down over those regrets. Just be reminded of it, and therefore, going forward, I will not allow that to happen. I will keep things in order. I will do the things that I should. I will do the things that honor the Lord in my walk with the Lord Jesus. Purpose in your heart, like Daniel, to live a godly life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the best way to keep our bodies pure, the best way to grow, the best way to stay in the Word, the best way to keep our body in subjection, the best way to stay and keep a good, healthy prayer life is we need to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit, because if not, we'll fulfill the lust of the flesh, which will prevent us from living the life that we should be living for the Lord. Next question. Am I falling in love with the Lord again and again? See, many believers get away from God, then get out of church because their love for the Lord cools. Not as hot, not as exciting that it once was. That's why it's good to have testimonies. That's why it's good to share your faith, to share your testimony, to remind yourself as you tell others what the Lord saved you from or what the Lord saved you out of. Am I falling in love with the Lord again and again? As the song says, I just keep falling in love with Him over and over again. See, they are not those folks that are not, that are getting away from the Lord and they get out of church. They are not as close to the Lord as they should be because this tug of the world appeals to them more than the things of God. Dear friends, as long as we live in this world, there's going to be a sort of a tug of war. We still have to live in this body of flesh. The flesh wants what it wants. And therefore, to capitalize that, to overcome that, to be an overcomer, as John says in our text verse, we need to make sure we are doing those things that is helping us to grow spiritually. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because I have left thy first love. You see, the church of Ephesus lost their sweet first love for the Lord. Let's make it a little more simpler, fellas. Do you love your bride today as much as you did the day you said, I do? Do we love our Lord as much as we did the first day we said, Jesus, save me, forgive me of my sins? Father, come into our heart and be my Savior. Do we just keep falling in love with Him again over and over again? I do my very best with my family. We never have a conversation on the phone. We never have a conversation in public where we do not end it with, I love you. And they're there physically in embrace. And then another whisper, I love you, so good to see you. I do not allow a day to go by that I don't tell Michelle how much I love her and how nice she looks today. I want her to know how I feel. And dear friends, we should do the same thing with our Savior, falling in love with Him, expressing our love for Him as He first loved us. That will help us in our walk. James tells us in chapter 1 and verse 8, in reference to falling in love with the Lord, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his way. Dear friends, we will not be overcomers if we cannot make up our mind who we serve. The gospel tells us that we cannot serve God and mammon. We have to make up our mind as believers that we are going to give Him all that we are and say, Lord, help me as I walk and live my life for you. Allow me to yield myself. Lord, help me to yield myself that you might live in me and through me as I minister unto others. John chapter 15 and verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I in the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, the evidence of being a believer and part of the evidence of following and walking with God is that we will become fruit bearers. There will be evidence of fruit in our life, growing spiritually, having an impact, being a blessing on those lives around us. But be warned, be aware, living for the Lord, living out your life for Christ, doing all you can to bear fruit in your life will upset Satan, will upset others. In fact, it might even offend carnal Christians. But it should not keep us from doing that which is right. I remember when our kids were growing up, and I'm so glad that our adult children are actually more than just siblings, but they are friends. They, at times, they may have to tolerate one another, but they still communicate. They love one another, and they keep in communication. But I can remember when they were growing up. I can remember at times where they had aught with one another. I can remember at times having to pull my sweet daughters apart because they were upset with one another over a brush, over a toothbrush. I mean, who wants to use somebody else's toothbrush, even if it's for spite? But anyway, just over something being upset about. Having to pull them apart or set them down and talk with them and said, hey, you guys shouldn't act this way. And dear friends, we need to ask ourselves, how are we treating one another? How are we treating other believers in Christ? After all, we are on the same team. We are abiding together, serving the Lord. And as we fall in love with the Lord over and over again, how in the world can I be right with God, falling in love with Him this way, and not be falling in love with my brothers and sisters in Christ? In fact, if I can't love my brothers and sisters in Christ the way the Lord loves me, I can't be right with Him. See, they go hand in hand. And therefore, we must do all we can to fall in love with the Lord over and over again. John 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As we love Him and love others. As we love others in Jesus' name. Yes, even though you may not care for that person. Even though they might rub you the wrong way. You love them because you need to. Love them, get to know them. You might find out you've got a whole lot more in common than you realized. Next, am I taking my responsibility as a Christian seriously? How serious am I about my Christianity? How serious am I about my faith? How serious am I about who I am in Christ? Is it serious enough that I want others to know? Have I made a choice? Have I determined? Let me read an illustration from I Enjoy Baseball. I read this illustration some years ago. Hall of Fame baseball manager Tommy Lasorda. Many of you probably have heard of him as a coach of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Did you know that he played baseball as well, but never made it out of the minor leagues, but was a wonderful coach? He was also known for his clever stories and offered memorable life lessons as a coach and as a friend. In a Sports Illustrated interview, he describes battling against bad habits. We would call it sin. He said, I took a pack of cigarettes from my pocket and stared at it and said, who is stronger, you or me? The answer was me. I stopped smoking. Then I took a vodka martini and said to it, who was stronger, you or me? Again, the answer was me. I quit drinking. Then I went on a diet. I looked at a big plate of linguine and clam sauce and said, who is stronger, you or me? And a little clam looked up at me and answered, I am. I can't beat linguine. Tommy Lasorda said, yeah, we're going to have our battles. We're going to have some difficulties, and we're going to make some decisions. I am going to quit for the glory of God. I am going to give this thing up, and it's going to come back, and it's going to come back, and you're going to battle it, and you're going to battle it, and whatever it may be, the key is continuing day by day, one day at a time. Okay, I quit. I failed. I'll try again next. I fell down. I'll get back up, and I'll keep going on because I take my responsibility as a Christian seriously. Because others are watching and observing my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Dear friends, if we are not taking our responsibility as a Christian seriously, we will struggle with sin and we will struggle with temptation. It's not God's plan for us to struggle. He always makes a way of escape, without a doubt, in each and every occasion. But do we look for the occasion? You see, when it's dark outside and we've got to go outside, the power went off. I can't figure out why it is. I've got to go outside and I've got to check the fuse box. I go over to the drawer in the kitchen. There's a flashlight. There's one in the garage on my way out. There on my left as I enter the garage, there's a flashlight. So all I got to do on my way is pick it up. I can always take my phone and use it, but I would rather use something a little bigger when I'm going out in the dark. In fact, I don't like the darkness so much. I put those motion sensors outside around the house so when I come around the corner, it lights up. So here am I going out to the fuse box, and I have that light lighting my way. Street lights are on, but when I come around the corner of that larger two-story building house, it blocks some of that. And with that fuse box, I can open it up, and I can hold it with my arm and go through, and I can find the one that's slightly kicked. Go ahead and take it all the way over and reset it. The point I'm trying to make is here, even in the darkness, I could always find a source of light to guide my way. And dear friends, the Bible tells us the Word of God is a light unto our path. And we should use it. And the best way that it works is not just to carry it around, but to open it up and consume it. See, that flashlight would do me no good if it had no batteries. That flashlight would do me no good going to the fuse box if I didn't pull the trigger and turn it on. It's one of those pistol type ones. You just pull the trigger and it lights up really good. And if the battery goes dead and I don't charge the battery, it doesn't do me any good. And dear friends, I don't know about you. I need to be recharged every day. I need to get into the Word every day. I need that light unto my path. You see, it is not God's plan for us to struggle because He does always make a way of escape. Dear friends, beloved, victory over sin, temptation, and bad habits does not come from our strength or will or determination. We need the Word of God. We need it. Yeah, we might determine. And the strong will says, I'll quit, I'm stopped, I'm moving forward. But dear friends, how much more do we need God's Word to help us in our daily walk? If we rely on self, we will be defeated. Paul writes in Romans chapter 7 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That tells us right there, we cannot live above sin. We need help. We need His help. We need the Word. We need one another for encouragement and uplifting. Praise the Lord that we are not on our own and we do not have to rely on our own resources. I am encouraged when I'm here at church around our church family. It's encouraging for me to come in and hear folks say, good morning, Pastor. Love you, Pastor. How are you doing today? Hey, are you ready? Are you ready? We got through a handshake time right before church, getting ready for church. And Sister Doyle looks at me and said, preacher, you ready? You ready? She was talking about, am I ready to preach? She was ready to hear it. She was ready for the worship service to start. And we need to be ready like that each day of our life as we go out into the world and realizing that we live in the world. We do not have to allow the world to live in us. Praise the Lord. Again, we are not on our own and we do not have to rely on our own resources. We have the Word of God. We have each other. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In our text verse, greater is He that is in thee than he that is in the world. In order to be overcomers, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to ask the hard questions. Is my body in subjection? Am I prepared for Satan's attacks? Am I steadfast in spirit and attitude? Let me pause and go back to number two. Am I prepared for Satan's attack? Let's just be honest. Can you ever really fully be prepared? We can be aware, we can be alert, but boy, the temptation is there. Do you have that safety net? Do you have that one you can call and courage if you happen to fall? Or do you realize we don't have to walk around in fear that Satan might be around the corner? But I tell you what, it sure helps to start our day in the Word, talking to God and allowing His Word to talk to us. Am I steadfast in spirit and attitude? Am I praying consistently? Am I growing spiritually? Am I in the Word of God daily? Am I keeping myself pure? Am I falling in love again with the Lord again and again and again? And then lastly, am I taking my responsibility as a Christian seriously? How would your neighbor describe you? How would a friend or a coworker describe you? Would they be surprised if they were told that you were a Christian? Or would they know that by your testimony, by your lifestyle, by you already taking the opportunity to share your faith? Dear friends, beloved, we are overcomers that are on the winning side. It makes no difference what happens today, tonight, tomorrow, next year. It makes no difference what happens in 2027 if Russia tries to fulfill its goals or not. We are on the winning side. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And because greater is He that is in you than He's in the world, because of these things, we need to stay close to God. We need to allow Him to work in us and through us. Are we allowing Him to do that? Are we reserving a spot where He has to stay in? Or does the Lord have free reign in our life, in our hearts, our mind, in everything about our life? Are we even inviting Him in? So as I close this morning, I will ask again, to me, something very, very important in our last step. How are we taking our responsibilities as a Christian? Gentlemen, for those of you that raise daughters, you know how important it is to be on guard and to be the man that set the example for your daughter. Also for your sons, but there's something different about that father-daughter relationship. Then again, as we bring this again to a close, Miss Marlene, if you want to make your way, that relationship we have with our wives, gentlemen, ladies with our husband, that relationship that we have with our children that we're building, do we take our responsibility serious? I trust and hope each and every time that I go to the doctor that my doctor is taking his job seriously. He's concerned about healing me as he practices medicine. And dear friends, greater than that responsibility is for the Christian to live a life that those who are in need of Christ can be spiritually healed. And dear friends, the best way that's going to happen is we have to take our responsibilities as a believer the best that we can and do the best. Yes, we'll do better tomorrow than we'll do today. We'll do better the next day than we did the previous day. But are we growing in that area to live a life in such a way that was pleasing and honoring to the Lord Jesus? So, dear friends, how to be an overcomer in this messed up world? It starts with these questions that we shared. We'll share some more next week. But how are you doing? And I'll close again with that last one. How are you taking your Christian responsibility? Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning and no one's looking around. Our pianos will begin playing. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning in some way, how not do business with the Lord? Where you stand or here at an altar, you'd like somebody to pray with you, we'll make those arrangements. But with nobody looking, but just me, just for a moment, I would like to pray for you. If you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, you're not sure where you would spend eternity, but you said, I've got questions and I'd like to know more about this being saved. I'd like to have peace in my life about where I would spend eternity. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anyone like that, just slip your hand up and down. I will not come to you. I just want to pray for you and make myself available to help you. Anyone at all? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure where I would spend eternity, but I would like to know. Amen. Well, dear Christian, the Lord has spoken to your heart, right where you stand or here at an altar. would you do business with the Lord? Father, we love you. We are truly grateful for the privilege of being here this morning. I pray the word of God would continue to speak to the hearts of your people this morning. Help us to evaluate our life and ask, am I serving the Lord in a way that's pleasing to him? Am I serious about my faith? Lord, dear Lord, please move on the hearts of your people, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment as our piano's played. Some are here at the altar praying. Some may need to, but whether it's where you stand or here, would you do business with the Lord as he speaks to your heart this morning? If all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. We'll close a public invitation. As always, God loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. I am just a phone call away, a text away. If you'd like to talk, I set up a time to talk. And we're so glad you're here this morning. I'll make my way to the back in just a moment. Gentlemen, please do not forget, if you're willing to be involved in usher ministry, you have some curiosity, you have some interest, like to see what's going on, please just meet over here. Brother Dave said he'll be just a few moments right here in the front near where Brother Tony is standing. You make your way there in just a moment. And take some time. Again, this is not just for church members, but if you're visiting the church, you've been attending regularly, you'd like to be more involved, more here in the church, maybe even know more about the church, why not come over here and join us and see how you can serve the Lord as well as serving others here at Harvest.